We are coming to the time in the church year where the messages from Scripture have apocalyptic themes. The word apocalypse comes from the Greek apokalyptein, meaning to uncover, to disclose, or to reveal. In modern times, we mean this word as a cataclysmic event. There are many churches within the Christian tradition who point to cataclysmic events and predict the end times. Already in the 21st century, some major predictions have come and gone. For example, the Russian mystic Rasputin, who died in 1916, prophesied a storm that would take place on August 23rd, 2013, where fire would destroy most life on the land and Jesus would come back to the earth to comfort those in distress. The so-called blood moon prophecy, claimed by the moon's appearance in 2014 and 2015, may represent the beginning of the messianic times. Some Mormons in Utah combine the September 2015 blood moon and other signs, causing a large increase in the sale of survival supplies. Psychic Jean Dixon predicted that Armageddon would take place in 2020. She previously predicted the world would end on February 4th, 1962. The list goes on and on and on. What Jesus describes in the gospel about the end time sounds very concrete and specific. For some, when they see these kinds of things happen, they predict an end date, none of which have been accurate. The larger message of apocalyptic literature is that God is in charge, and we are constantly invited to abandon our human ways of living and return to a world as God would have us live, in righteousness, in right relationship with God, with one another, and with ourselves. We are in a world of constant change. The ground is indeed shifting under our feet. Nothing seems familiar anymore. The structures that you and I took for granted are no longer as stable and certain as they once were. Moreover, experts tell us cultural, societal, and systemic changes will only accelerate and get faster. The structures we depended on in the past to be unchanging have often changed right in front of our eyes. At my table over dinner on Saturday at the gala, the conversation was about mourning the loss of those structures and the impact it's having on families. A willingness by people to invest in these institutions has greatly diminished. This is not only the fact for those of us in churches. Just ask people who volunteer at fire departments or the Historical Society or the Legion or the Lions Club. The young people are not coming forward to participate in the numbers that adequately replace older members as they can no longer serve as they once did. To understand what is happening in the churches, I commend you an article in the Crux magazine that most of you should have received as Episcopalians on the mailing list. I've copied an article by Leanne Tolsman that I put in the back of the church that she wrote. She writes, 40% of parishes have full-time priests in Connecticut, and 20 to 25% of open positions are just for quarter-time clergy, of which there are next to no candidates. What is clear with our young people is that they are much less willing to support a 20th century model of church, which is ironically the church that 99% of us grew up knowing and want to preserve. For example, the model of one church, one priest is giving way to new models of sharing clergy. I worked diligently behind the scenes before leaving my former parish to set in motion the idea of Preston sharing a priest with Yantic. And Yantic is a congregation of under 20 people. And I'm happy to report that they have launched an experiment for 3 years to see if it works for them. So how do we live in a world that seems so doomed and ever-changing? In a 2008 article, change management expert Jordan Furlong wrote, "A better way to approach change might to be envision your environment as a wild river, the kind you go whitewater rafting on, fast, unpredictable, dangerous in parts, requiring constant course correction. Your job is to navigate that river by guiding your craft along as best you can, while understanding that the shape of your craft, the people handling the paddles, and your overall waterworthiness are constantly in flux, often in ways that are beyond our control." Successful change management in this environment requires an appreciation of the modest influence you or I can exert over the end result of just about anything. And I like that last line, an appreciation of the modest influence you can exert over the end result. This is where there is a parallel with apocalyptic literature and our gospel today. As I've already said, apocalyptic readings remind us of the central message of Scripture, that God is in charge. God created a beautiful, perfect world. And we choose again and again to turn against the way God intended us to live in this perfect creation as we want, and God keeps calling us back. Even when we give up on God, God does not give up on us. Imagine what those original hearers of Mark's gospel would have thought, having heard this passage. When Jesus saw people admiring the temple, he said, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Mark happened to write this gospel just 15 years before the actual destruction of the temple took place by the Romans in 70 AD. It would be understandable early Christians heard this as literal prophecy by Jesus. However, was Jesus actually predicting the upcoming actual destruction of the temple less than 30 years after his death? Or was he trying to say something more to all of us through the ages? I think he may be trying to tell us something larger, that nothing, no structure, no building, nothing made by human hands or human imagination is lasting. In fact, Mark's Jesus is clear that the toppling of a religious edifice does only not imply the arrival of lasting change, but it may lead to more conflicts and greater catastrophes. Mark reminds us that every edifice or institution will be toppled, torn down, or thrown away. I think the point in today's gospel, as well as the advice of Jordan Furlong, is that in the end, we are not in charge. We can do very little to control the outcome of our lives or this world. We are not in control. God is. Ask anyone who has gone through a life-threatening situation, looked death in the face, or saw the failure of something that they tried to build in their lives. We then realize we are not in charge or control. This message of apocalyptic literature in today's readings, they remind me that the best we can do is in 2 Thessalonians, which says, "Brothers and sisters, do not be weary from doing what is right. Doing the right thing and let God take care of the rest." This gives me great hope and assurance. While the church we have known will probably not look like the church in the future and will cause a lot of loss and pain For those of us reared in this way of doing church, the message is we need not fear. Rather, we are to remain faithful in the hope God will do what God has done for over 2,000 years. God will give the world a church that it needs to care for the world in ways that God wants us to serve. If we take a page from our Jewish brothers and sisters, even though the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago, God has remained faithful to his Jewish people without the temple that was familiar and the center of their worship. They moved from temple worship to live out their faith in new ways in the world. This may not sound like good news to some of us, but it is simply the truth and encourage us to be more intentional about discerning how God is calling us more and more to be that spiritual haven in new ways for a community and a world that remains hungry for faith, hope, and most of all, for love. Gifts that we here at St. Peter's have in abundance to share with others. The prayer by the renowned theologian Reinhold Niebuhr is a familiar prayer to many of us and reminds us of our role in this world and in our church, and it helps provide us proper perspective. Pray with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his world, his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.